Hello, good morning, morning where I am anyway, and welcome to this podcast, the final regular podcast for international festival and event environments. If you've decided to go down the Netflix binge listen route, then you are nearly all the way through, and it's very good to have you there. Now, this topic, topic 11, is titled Government, Tourism and Critique of Neoliberal Things, that sort of collection of words. And I wanted to wait until after the lecture and after the seminars to see what had come through in the way that we approached and discussed the topic. Ultimately, it was good to see that people had, you know, plenty to say about this interpretation of events and festivals. And it was interesting that some people were saying that they had kind of felt that over the course of the degree, it was difficult to find literature that really critiqued events in a kind of in-depth way or in a kind of sustained way. And so maybe, you know, slipping this in at the end is an interesting counterpoint to some of the previous material that we've been having a look at. Some of the more mainstream material, you might say. And, of course, if we have a look at what Chris Rodgick has to say, then he is all about that critique. It was interesting getting some of your views on Chris Rodgick, or his work, but also on the person, it would seem. Some people thinking that he had a lot to get off his chest, and maybe he was quite angry about all of this and so on. Hey, I don't know the guy. Now, in terms of introducing his themes and his topics, and in fact the broader discussion around neoliberal approaches, or at least what I have clumped together under this heading of a neoliberal critique, I think it might make a little bit of sense just to kind of quickly run through how the lecture was set out on Tuesday and the ensuing seminar discussions. So I kicked off with some thinking about a kind of mainstream view of event tourism, and this is kind of what we get told. This is what the literature tells us. We had a look at some work from Goetz and from Bowden and from Richards and Palmer, picking up the idea that events and festivals were great, and that what happens around events is that we piece together a plan, we bring in some instrumental objectives, and we end up with something that meets lots and lots of different stakeholders' objectives, and is great for the destination, is great for the venue, it can encourage investment and what have you. But then we start getting some little bits of critique coming in, and then, like I say, I've lumped some of this together under this heading of neoliberalism. Now, why choose that? Well, that particular word crops up in some of the literature. It's there in the Foley et al., where they talk about, and I'm not going to be able to find a specific quotation. Oh yeah, here we go. Neoliberalism requires the reconceptualization of the relationship between citizens and cities, between central and local state, and between events and the economy. So if we start to see the world as a big neoliberal project to promote the interests of big business, then it's all very well seeing that in terms of the media or the healthcare or the education systems or whatever it might be. But hey, it's there in events as well. Now, a lot of these authors ended up coincidence or by design, they ended up looking at mega events. I guess the bigger the investment, the greater the stakes, the greater the chance that the sort of forces of neoliberalism might get interested. So we get quite a lot of work based around things like Olympics and so on. But hey, I don't think that that is where we should be restricting our discussion. This whole consideration about what it is, what's going on when we invest into event-type projects, festivals, events, capital investment into venues, etc. The Foley et al. Picked out a whole bunch of questions. How sustainable is this? Where are the inequalities? What does privatisation mean in this context? Where is ownership? Ownership of what? ownership of the venue, the events, the evaluation process, etc. Who is accountable and how are they held to account if they are? And then we got on to Chris Rudzik, and he gave us two contributions, one being a case study on the London Olympic bid for the London 2012 Games, in the sense of this is what they said they would do. And then what we actually got was lots of investment into things like the securitization of the event, the risk assessment, the management of risk as well, the commercialization of the program, the mixed messages on environmental sustainability, the relationship with youth and young people and those sorts of themes. So that was part of where he was coming from, ultimately trying to make the point that it's very, very difficult to oppose a mega event such as an Olympic Games, particularly if you are part of the host nation. What you're being asked to do is say, look, come on, it's an Olympics, we're great, come on, shine and smile for the camera and wave the flag, don't let the side down. It's very difficult to criticise an Olympic Games when they're going on, because everyone just gets so damn enthusiastic about the whole thing. And so all the time that we're seeing curtailment of civil liberties, of free speech and freedom of movement and freedom of assembly and so on, yeah, we don't necessarily tend to critique that in the same ways that maybe we should. The press often tries to, but again, once the sport actually kicks off, it's very difficult to do. So I guess what we need to do as events researchers and events professionals is to focus on, you know, what can we bring to the discussion? Where can we bring a fresh perspective? Where can we take on board the practical and the applied and the logistical and operational driven elements of events? Where can we make sure that we are aware of the positive impacts and policy outcomes that you can get from events, but also take on board the fact that there is a discussion going on there, to take on board the discussion that the way in which events get used and perhaps abused is something that we can catch on to, we can be aware of. So let's see how we go with that. There are a couple of case studies, a bit from Rio, a bit from the UK, and so on. Now then, Chris Rudzik's other contribution was the paper that he wrote for leisure studies. And this is all around global event management, a critique. And what I did in a whole series of very colourful quotations and statements and so on was to try and represent some of the perspectives and views and statements that feature in his paper, which is from 2012. It talks about corruption and lack of transparency and the idea of events being, you know, wrapped up in concepts and slogans that don't really mean very much. Talked about the event management literature and how it tends to accentuate the positive, presenting the negative as a management challenge, something to be overcome, a bit like bad weather and road closures and so on. Talked about the ways in which events give us a sense of transcendence. We come together, we celebrate, we have those moments, those transformative moments. And yet, we find that a lot of them then gets sort of snapped up, reappropriated, commercialized, and sold back to us by people who will seek profit where they can. And all of this is wrapped up in a sort of media bubble, a media frenzy, events being perfectly suited really to presenting the media with something to get their teeth into, because the media loves a story. Now then, right towards the end of the lecture, I posted an old exam question which was all related to these themes, and essentially the question says, outline what you consider to be the key points behind these positions, the Rudzik, the Folliatel, that kind of thing. What is it that they are saying? Explore the aspects of events that they are seeking to critique, the neoliberal aspects and interpretations. And then it says, what about other contributions to the literature? How are they playing a part in this? The Goetz, the Bowden, whatever. And what is the critique around them? So, there you go. Lots to take on board. I've only got 10 seconds left for this podcast. We'll follow all of this kind of stuff up in the remaining week. the lecture and the seminar. I look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.